Okay, so we just finished watching season 15, episode 19 of Supernatural, the penultimate episode that felt like the finale.
It really did.
and I think I'm at a very interesting emotional state.
Yep.
but that doesn't matter because that's what we're going to spend the next hour plus talking about. So without
Processing
further,
our feelings.
exactly. So you're listening to It's Funnier in Enochian, a Supernatural podcast. I'm Kira.
I'm Sally.
So where do we begin?
I don't know. I'm so curious for next week
Yes.
because, as you said, this felt like a finale.
Yeah. Which
And
contradicts stuff that Jensen said.
yeah, well, except that he said that this was the season
Yeah.
finale. But,
Yeah.
like,
But
I'm glad there's another episode because I think that if this was the series finale, I would be disappointed.
yes.
Like, because even at the end, I was like, this is like a little corny. And
Which
like,
is saying something for
which
Supernatural.
is saying something. And then I was like, wait, like, are they gonna, like, I'm assuming that Eileen is back. Like,
Well,
this
that's the
is.
thing though, right? Like they have that little moment at the end there where they clink beers and like Dean goes, to all the people that we've lost along the way, and it's like,
Well,
but
and it's like
aren't some of those
50
people
people.
back?
Yeah, like,
Yeah.
because
And then
presumably, like, Jody and Donna for sure are
yeah,
back.
at minimum, like
Yeah.
and okay, now all the questions are coming. I don't know
Yes.
about you, but like literally my brain just got populated with like do do do, do like pop-up windows.
Yeah.
like even during like during that last part there before the montage, I like my immediate thought was just like, Dean, Jack said that you don't have to sacrifice or pray anything to him, just like ask for gas back. And then
Yeah.
also too, why isn't Jack just automatically giving him gas back?
Yeah. Well, and also, like,
I am confusion.
why are they so happy? Like, that's the other thing where I'm like, you've lost everyone and now you're like, we're finally free. But, like, it's like I said last week, like, what's the point of freedom? If you don't have the people that you care about, they don't have Jack anymore. They don't have their son.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a theory that's been swimming around on Tumblr,
Okay.
especially specifically the blogs that like we the Tumblrs that we follow, like on the Iffy
I'm
account.
ready because I have not been on Tumblr at all, except that I looked at like some of the stuff that you reblogged, but like
Yeah.
I feel like we've switched because I feel like when we
Oh,
started this
100%.
podcast, I was like, let me tell you about this elaborate meta that I read, and you were like, I haven't been on Tumblr in years. And
Yeah.
now I'm like, Tumblr?
Who is she? so yeah, I think the moment when I realized that we switched places was earlier this week when I texted you. I've read more metas in the last 4 days than in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one particular analysis, I should say, it's not theory. I think, honestly, I think that we can finally say definitively that we are no longer, even before this episode, we're no longer in the theory building realm of watching the show. Because
Yes.
it is coming to an end in terms of like theory as in prediction,
Yes.
right? Because this analysis that I am actually going to talk about and name instead of just leading everyone on about it, is more of like a statement of the show, kind of going back to a thing that we've, I think, constantly been battling with, which is what is the thesis of the show? What is the philosophy of the show? What is the show trying to say?
Yeah.
And I think particularly, since we started the podcast slash like even like the, you know, because we started the podcast halfway through season 13, and I would argue maybe like all of 13 and maybe even 12, like since like 12 forward. Definitely the philosophy of the show has gone through the most shifts, like the most drastic shift since it started.
Yeah.
Arguably. And I think that a lot of that comes through this kind of analysis, which is ever since we found out that Chuck inserted himself, that God inserted himself into the story, it's become about a battling between the characters and how they're written. And how they're written is very much based in 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's based in a different time. It's based in a different method of consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Like even just the way that we're the way that we're talking right now, it didn't exist in 2005.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Like not even FaceTime did, which is like insane to think about.
I feel like Skype did, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, it would have been buffering. It would have, yes, it would have been a very rudimentary, you know,
yes,
the ease of which, and the fact that like I could torrent stream the show and then like share it. Like, yeah. You know, it, like there is like a, you know, to it's gotten extremely meta.
Yes.
And a lot of the analysis got bolstered by last week's episode, which I still feel like I have even more to talk about. Like, even before we watched this episode, I feel like I developed even more things to say about last episode that are maybe a little bit more coherent. And so the analysis is that this is the show saying, okay, fine, you guys write the show now, to the audience. That you know, I'm going to just be explicit about it, that the queer baiting, that this macho, you know, toxic masculinity, that all these like pillars of the show are based in, you know, a cis white male writing the show, mm-hmm, and not a co-op writing the show, not a fandom writing the show. And the characters are just a product of whoever is writing them.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like them being happy is the reason why I'm able to, there's two reasons why I'm able to understand why they're so happy.
Yeah.
Right now. And that's one, because we do have another episode.
Yeah.
Like you're saying.
Yeah.
Totally. I 100% agree with that kind of feeling of like, if this was actually it would feel, I don't know if I could say disappointing, but it would feel lackluster and like the kind of ending that you can't even pick up on again.
Yeah.
For like, you know, go, because they've talked about it, you know, so much in interviews and stuff, that it's just like, oh, like if any show could be picked up in later years again to do like a miniseries or whatever, it would be this show and stuff. And especially with this kind of like more like the positive ending rather than the, oh my God, I can't remember how we've referred to it in the past. The, you know, going out with a bang.
Oh yeah. Ending. Like the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted you to say it because I knew I would mess up the names that, you know, in some order or whatever. That, you know, not having an ending like that lends itself to like the show coming back at some point, even as just a limited thing or a movie or whatever, however they want to do it. But even with the positive ending, this episode didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like a dot, dot, dot. It felt like a conclusion.
Yeah.
It felt like how, oh God, I'm getting so excited just thinking about it. It felt like how TV shows used to end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, it feels like a very tying the bow.
Yeah.
There's a little pretty bow on it.
Yeah. I guess I've never seen a TV show that ended like this.
Okay. When I say ended like this, I mean like, okay, yeah, that's right. You've never seen Charmed. When you say that, like, what do you mean? You've never seen a show that ended like this.
I feel like Buffy, I'm trying to think of shows that I've watched all the way through. I don't know. I feel like most shows that I've watched have had ... endings. Like, I've never watched a show that's ended with, like, a montage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm also now trying to think back. So I think more what I mean to say maybe is that the tone.
Yeah.
And the kind of like, it's very neat.
Yeah.
Cause I've definitely watched endings of shows where it's just like, you know, like let's set aside the ... part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just like the notion of like things kind of being all wrapped up.
Yeah.
In a way, you know, like in terms of like, you know, let's be, oh God, what's the word? Let's reminisce. That's like, oh, look at where we've been.
Yeah.
Look at where we are now. It's sentimental. There
yeah.
we go.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a lot of shows and especially mm-hmm. like, you know, 80s, 90s shows that ended very much like that kind of feeling, like being very sentimental about this long-running series rather than being critical. And I think that it's the next episode that they have the opportunity to be critical, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And considering that, to me, because I'm sure, oh God, I'm almost excited to go on Tumblr after this to see all the like, oh, how people reacted to like how little or how much Cassio and the Love Convention was mentioned.
Yeah.
And I personally, to me, think that like it personally gives me more hope than not.
Yeah. Well, and like, just let's, oh my God, I lost you.
Oh, you did?
But there
Where
I
did
am.
I go?
No, I
okay.
I don't know what happened.
technology.
I know, right? Like to jump right into, you know, shipper goggles. But like the first thing that Dean says is like, he's like, yeah, bring back all these other people. Bring back Cass.
Yeah.
Like Cass is like the only person that he, I don't even remember James. What part of the episode this was in, but Cass is the
it
only
was when,
person.
It was when they were like, they went into to like Sammy's cafe and it was like, you can't give up now. And then it was like, oh, well, then what are we supposed to do? And then they go and they meet up with Chuck.
Yeah. And they like,
and it's in
like,
that
we'll
moment.
Do all of this stuff.
Yeah.
If yeah. you bring back Cass.
Yes. Yeah,
and I'm just
exactly.
like, again, like, I think the thing is that, like, Cass confessed his love, mm-hmm. and regardless of how Dean feels about that, he is still, like, he is the most important person. You have to bring him back.
And inevitably, again, not to give too much, like, airtime, you know, like we've commented on in past episodes, even before last week, not to give too much airtime to the like aunties or the, you know, kind of people that really want it a certain way. And if it's not that way, then it's an all or nothing kind of situation. Yeah. Again, not to give them too much airtime, but it's like, there's going to be at least one person that reads this episode as no homo. Just like somehow there was people that viewed last episode as platonic.
Yeah.
Which like I hesitate to say that it's frustrating, but it's more like, really? That's like, yeah. like it's what I think I'm finally at the point now where I'm just like, oh, I feel so sad for you that like your realm of like reading a text is so limited,
yeah,
or so easily like fractured by, and that goes either way. That goes for yeah. people that haven't read anything to it into it, or that are saying that it's not enough, you know, yeah. like for both those camps.
And I mean, for, I think with the former, yeah, the former, with the people who see it as platonic, it's like, you know, I think a lot of straight people just really are just blind to it. Yeah. Because it's like,
even when it's right in front of you,
it's like this one guy I knew who insisted to me over and over again that Joan Jett was straight.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
And I'm just like, cool. Like, there's no reasoning with people like that. You that's know? Great.
Oh my. Yeah. It's fun.
So,
but it's to kind of piggyback off of that, like, we will talk about this actual episode because it all feeds in. And yeah. and I think I just need to kind of get out some of the stuff that has been rolling around. Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page, because I wasn't sure if you had the same kind of thing happening with you.
Yes.
Because I just feel like I've been high this whole week out of, like, joy.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. And, like, disbelief and everything. But to kind of piggyback off of what you were just saying, and like kind of that whole notion of, you know, when is it enough? Is it canon if it's one-sided? If it's, you know, and we can go into the actual definition of what canonical is. We can go into like other examples of like ships becoming canon, especially heteronormative shifts becoming canon, and like how many times does that happen where it's just one-sided and unrequited? So like why it feels like overly tenuous, right? And at the end of the day, I think I'm, because I did start doing that thing of where it's like, okay, wait, am I the wrong one here? Mm-hmm. Am I not asking enough? Like, should I be asking for more? Because it's like, that is what we should be asking ourselves in many ways. But to me, a kind of epiphany that I had is that even if all we get is that love confession and that's it, and we don't see Cass again, other than maybe like a brief cameo in next week's episode, and it's like, that's it. And there's not even any discussion from Dean, between Dean and Sam. Like, let's just say that that's what happens. At the end of the day, I will never expect less from any other TV show or movie when it comes to like gayness.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, if Supernatural, the most kind of like hetero representing, you know, been on the air for 15 years, can pull something like that off,
yeah,
then any show can. And I think too, for me, sorry, I know I'm talking a lot.
That's but
for
A-okay. Me,
like what it made me think of, because I was just like, wow, why did this affect me so much? Because mm-hmm. I was like, you know, of course, I would expect it to affect me and yourself and like other, you know, Destiel shippers and everything. But I was just like, why was I so like, so affected? And that's because of Sherlock.
Yes.
I was convinced that we would get John Locke at the end of Sherlock. Yeah. And I can't remember if it, did you end up finishing?
No, I didn't.
Season 4? Okay, I didn't think so. And I'm just like, sorry, it's been long enough. I'm not going to censor myself anymore.
Spoil me, it's okay.
Yeah, like there was a really great scene where they like hold each other and cry. Mm-hmm. That was like really good, but that was it. And to me, it's like, I was so convinced that we were going to get something like how we got last week.
Yeah.
And so not getting that. And then also to someone's reaction that I watched the other day, who had, you know, used to be on Tumblr in the heyday and everything, and then like kind of got out of it. They made this comment too of just like, when you're off Tumblr, you do kind of not read stuff as intensely because you're not in it, right? Like, they kind of went a little further with it, and I'm like, no, it's still my ship. I still saw all the things.
Yeah.
I just wasn't convinced that it would happen.
Yeah.
At all. Like, I had so carved out any kind of expectation because of the nature of the show, because of being burned before.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe all the people that are asking for more, maybe they were just in to play, like, you know, to assume, you know, that people aren't intentionally being vindictive about stuff or whatever. You know, if you're kind of in that headspace and you're already expecting something and then you get that, I can maybe appreciate it being like not enough, right? Mm-hmm. But anyways, to sum up what I'm trying to say is that from now on, whether we get more or this is it, or we get just a little bit, or it's the full ship or whatever, no show is safe for me now in terms of expecting.
Yeah.
I hate to use the R word, but representation, you know, like of expecting subtext to surface.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think one of the things for me in terms of like why it hit me so much is because of, as we talked about in a different context last week, the anticipation, where it's like, again, like I didn't want to have like 5 seasons of Canon Destiel. It's better because we've been teased for so long. And like, you know, a show like The X-Files, Mulder and Scully got together at the end and it fucking sucked. Like, a lot of the time. And I think the interesting thing about Supernatural is they moved from pining tension to happily married without having the relationship like come true, you know? So that was kind of interesting, because by the time we got sort of, you know, the payoff or whatever last week, we hadn't been teased with the will they, won't they, will they, won't they for like a couple of seasons. Like, I mean, we never really got will they, won't they, but it had that energy for like,
yes, season
4 through season 10. It had that energy.
Yeah.
It had that Mulder Scully tension, like, I can only trust you. Like, it had those vibes, you know?
Yeah.
But like, again, with Mulder and Scully, like, the show fucking sucked when they got together. So I wouldn't have wanted 5 seasons of Canon Destiel. And having that, regardless, like, you know, who knows if having Canon Destiel earlier would have done anything good for the show. Personally, I'm like, obviously, false equivalency. Like, I don't want to be like, these are our only 2 options. But, like, would I rather have Supernatural? That's what happens when you take every
I would rather have Supernatural
queer thread. Like, not to shit on every possible queer baiting, and you're like, let's make it canon. And I'm just like, I'm not interested in that. I don't know. I do want to shade Glee. I didn't like Glee.
Well, it's that thing too, where it's just like, it's about, again, not to shit on Glee or an Asian Glee, but it's that thing of just like, to me, it's far more satisfying taking something that is rooted in the gender that is considered superior, that has been considered superior and stronger and this and that, and like the antithesis to the queer and the feminine, taking that, taking the execution of that, the landscape, and adding in or drawing out, I should say, what those features, as opposed to taking a landscape that's already kind of coded.
Yeah.
In, you know,
mm-hmm. It's like, the queerness is salt. And it's like,
yes.
I love salty food.
Same.
But like, I understand that not everyone likes their food that salty. And they've just sprinkled in a little dash.
But also, too, it's that thing that I've 100%, I love salty food, too. Like, I would often make the remark of, like, it can never be too salty. I love this metaphor that we're going with. But at the same time, I have definitely made stuff where I have put too much salt on it, and it becomes good. Inedible. It becomes inedible. That's the thing. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, to me, what it spells out is that, like, in a perfect world, we would have, just like most things, not to sound too, like, I don't know, middle of the road, but it's like, our media should reflect our world. And yeah, there's times where, like, my world is gayer than other times. Sentences that you never thought you would say. And, you know, like, yes, there's, like, fluctuation in everything in terms of, like, who you're around, like, all that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, there's, like, a somewhat even playing field. Like, it makes me think of, I can't remember if it was a TikTok that was going around recently. I think it was, where it was, like, talking about, like, all the types of friends in a friend group, and it was like the token straight that's yeah. on a that's on thin ice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's beautiful. This is beautiful.
Everyone on Supernatural is the token straight. Except maybe for not Charlie for long. And all of the canon queer characters and Cass, because
because he's a canon queer character now.
Yeah. Like, I'm so happy. Like, this is the thing. I'm like, I'm so happy. And also, you know what I am so excited for? I am so excited. Unless we get, you know, 100% of what we want. But
yeah,
I'm so excited to read fanfic about Dean processing his feelings and pining over Cass.
And then you're going to read it, and then you're going to send me all the best ones so I don't have to do the legwork.
Yes. Yes.
As per usual. another comment that I wanted to make in terms of, and also too, it could even be like an argument for, like, no, it even if this stays the way that it is, it still makes it canon. Because to me, it's like, the thing that really, and I can't remember if I made this comment last week, either just us talking or on the podcast. I can't remember if I made it either way, but future people that watch the show can't watch it any other way now.
Yeah.
Our reading is the correct reading.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
And that to me is the biggest thing, the biggest vindication, the biggest, like, you know.
Yeah.
100%. and also too it's just like, you know, all the arguments of, like, you know, oh, like, colorful, shall we say, jokes in the past, you know, and like the gay jokes or the this or that, or, like, you know, kind of riding that edge of, like, is it okay to say that? Is it not? And it just, what I automatically think of is that almost nearly 100% of the people that I know that are LGBTQIA, whatever.
Yeah.
Are so, so ready to, like, take back jokes, phrases, words. And if someone doesn't know that they are part of that community and just hears them randomly saying stuff, they're going to think that they're, like, homophobic pieces of shit. Yeah. And so it's like, to me, it's like, if you, I definitely come from the school of thought of, like, if you can't make fun of something, then, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like, and of course that's, in the same breath that I say that, I'm not referring to, like, when it's dangerous to do so, when people's lives are at risk and their mental health is at risk or anything. I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm talking about in that kind of perfect world of when you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and I think it comes back to also, like, the thing where I'm just like, I think one of the big things that gets sort of bandied about is like this sense that somehow the writers and showrunners like don't care about the queer viewers. And I'm just like, regardless of Destiel, like at this point, it's so obvious that they care about the queer viewers that like, I feel like if you don't see that, like you have issues. Like they have worked so hard to go outside of their own comfort zones and like, and do things because they clearly care about adding in representation. And like, maybe they haven't done it perfectly, but like they clearly really, really care. I think that ultimately, like, that's in no doubt. And if you're going to start shitting on people who care about you and are trying to do the right thing, like, don't.
Like, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I've been this last week, I've been trying to do that thing of like not putting too much trust in the creators, but then also on the other side of it being like, Dab wouldn't set this up if there wasn't more payoff, you know?
Well, and even, I don't know. I loved what you retweeted, Bobo's comment. At this point, that's all you can do.
And you can take that word.
Yeah.
You can cope in so many different ways. You can cope the way that we have been in terms of like just the like positive ways in which we've had to cope with this. And then you can also fuck off and cope in the other way as well.
But I'm just like, it's the same thing with female characters where I'm like, if you think that like the showrunners don't care about female viewers or female characters, because one of like, there are so many phrases that I wish like would just go away, queer baiting being one of them, but fridging is another, where I'm just like, you say a word enough and it loses all meaning. You use it's fridging true. To refer to any time a female character dies, it no longer has meaning. True. Like, and if you're pissed off about Billy dying because she was a woman of color, like I literally do not know how to respond to that, because I'm just like, again, everyone dies on Supernatural. She was a long-standing amazing character, like, and we have two episodes left. Like
one episode
left, but like at the point when she was killed off.
Sorry.
It's just like, that's not fridging. Also, she's not a woman of color, she's deaf. Like, I mean, I realize we're getting into like semantics and the actor is a woman of color, but like, not on the show she isn't. On the show she's like an eternal being. Like,
and also too, she became a villain.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she was, like, I would probably, I would have a harder time accepting her death or her absorption into the empty or whatever if she wasn't the villain.
Yeah.
If she wasn't trying to, like, perform a power grab. Yeah. And, you know, if she didn't, and to, like, not to give too much airtime to this, but, like, what an amazing character arc.
I know.
Like, genuinely full circle, because she actually never changed. She just, like such a good, like, I feel like I want to go back and just watch, like, her evolution. Mm-hmm. Because it is that thing of, like, when she became death, it was this, like, false sense of security of, like, oh, like, even more now, so the Brothers Winchester have, you know, a big, you know, powerhouse cosmic being on their side, because she's been able to really see, you know, now she quote unquote gets it, because she's behind the, you know, in a position of power. as opposed to just being a reaper and stuff. Like, before, she could never understand why, you know, death let them get away with, but like, oh, now she does. And like, it's, it may have not, it wasn't ever said explicitly, but like, I think we can extrapolate now that it's like, oh no, you know, death, original death, just let them, like, he yeah. chose, you know, or he chose to not fight against God. Yeah. He chose to just let, you know, and so it's like, it, yeah, it's really, that's the thing though, right? Is it's just like, I never really like thought about that and without bringing her up in this way. So I guess we can kind of thank it for that. But it's like, when you do just kind of label something as a negative or having like an ulterior kind of political motivation, you're taking a lot away from the actual yeah. thing, yeah. you know? Does that make sense, what 100%. I'm saying? Kind of? Yeah.
I just, it's like, we know that the only people on this show who are safe are Sam and Dean. You know, mm-hmm. everyone else has died.
Literally, even God. Like, he hasn't died yet, but he yeah. will.
And like, yeah. Michael and Lucifer both came back this episode and both died. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if that was like, if one of those characters was Billy, people would be like, why bring her back just to kill her off in one episode? And so that's why I love the Boba Baron's tweet, because yeah. it's just like, at that point, cool. like, and I feel like his reaction is like a reasonable one from mm-hmm. someone who's like really put his heart and soul into writing a good show and, you know, not being a dipshit. You know, like, I think that he really, like, he of anyone is like, I want to, I'm not gonna say that he like wants to always have good representation, but I think that he wants to like represent people well. Like, he just has very good intentions.
Yeah, it's that thing of like, there's a big difference between not doing something because the opportunity isn't there versus seeing the opportunity there and not taking it.
Yeah.
That is the thing. That's the difference. Yeah. I 100% will back people up, even if I don't agree, particularly if someone's like, look at this opportunity, and someone's not taking it, like, what the fuck's wrong with them? Then I'd be like, well, okay, yeah, I'd have to, like, read a little bit deeper in to see that opportunity, but you know what? No, like, since you see it, do you know what? You're totally right, and yeah, they're totally not taking that opportunity. Whereas I feel like, kind of going back to something that you said earlier, of, like, talking about the false equivalency, the two extremes of like, you know, do we want to have like Destiel for 5 seasons, or do we just want it at the end, or like, you know, a happy medium? And I would argue that we got the happy medium.
Yeah.
Because there was 100% instances where that was directly called to and referenced and where it already pushed against subtext.
Yeah, totally.
And then now when we go back, because you bet your ass I'm fucking rewatching the show from the beginning after this, like, I have to. It's like, it needs to happen. Yeah. And luckily my roommate wants to watch it, so I'm just like, woo. Yes, that's going to be a weekly thing for the next 5 years, because yeah. it'll take that one to watch God. It. But, well, actually, no, it would take a year if you watch it every, no. It would take a year if you watched one episode a day. But anyways. What am I saying? it would, because it's, there's 52 weeks in a year, and there's 320 episodes.
Yeah.
So it would take a while if you only watched one a week. Anyway, but, you know, now, especially going back and like rewatching it with the knowledge that at some point from between season 4 and season 15, Cass is falling in love with Dean. Like, it just, I'm not going to cry. Like, it, yeah. And there's a reason why that's going to work, is because it was there, and it was, you know,
yeah.
And so it's about...
And we all saw it.
Exactly. So we're better than everyone. Superiority. But to kind of...
I know, I'm like, do we want to talk about anything else with, like, the rest of the episode?
Oh, no, I definitely have stuff to talk about. Okay. But there was some, so you did see my reblogs on Tumblr, but there was some likes that I just liked.
Like, oh,
there
was just some
posts that I just liked that I wanted to not necessarily discuss on air with you, but just kind of, like, get your reaction. Mm-hmm. And shout out some people that we, like, follow and everything, because, like, they've fueled me for this week. And all of these, you know, Tumblrs are, like, all, have all been very positive and definitely been echoing, especially some of the stuff that you were saying last episode in terms of what you witnessed and yeah. kind of trying to be, and very much that sentiment of, like, can we just have this, please? Just let me have this. Come on. This comes from, and I just realized what the handle is referencing. This comes from you changed me on Tumblr. You've heard of bear your gaze. Now get ready for resurrect your gaze.
Nice.
I particularly liked that one. So, okay, wait, no, I just have to find another one. I was sitting on that for a while. This is a few people, so I'm not going to, like, name the Tumblr, but you, suddenly I'm respectable says, you know, at this point, I think it's pretty safe to say that none of us, not one single person had 20/20 vision. And then someone else reblogged and said, Flowers for Cass reblogged and said, except Dean Cass Shippers.
Yep.
Yeah. Except for the two of us who, like,
yes.
had our expectations so low that we didn't even, yeah. And then there was at least one other one. That was funny. Now I'm just gonna, it's just gonna be me laughing at stuff. Oh, that's what I wanted to, okay, did you, I can't remember if I retweeted it or not, but did you see the clip of, I retweeted it on Iffy Podcast, the clip of the panel where Misha's talking?
No.
About, no, you didn't? Okay. So this is, okay. This is the real thing, like, this is the definitive thing. So they did do, like, they had, like, oh no, is it gone? Oh no.
No.
No, it went away. Oh, that's so sad. Damn it. Oh, that makes me so angry. Oh, damn it, damn it. Well, anyways. Oh, God, that's so annoying. I was so excited for you to, like, hear this. I didn't think it was going to go away, or otherwise I would have sent it to you.
Yeah. Okay. What did it say?
So anyways, it was they had, like, a virtual con, like, the weekend after last week's episode. And so this was actually, like, a kind of like a special panel for, like, people that I think, like, signed up for a few. They got this, like, bonus one, and it was, I almost said Cass. It was Misha. Oh God, who else? Misha was in it. Mark Pellegrino was in it. Mark Shepard, Matt Cohen, Rowena. Oh my God, Ruthie. Sorry, Ruthie. Ruthie and Rob and Spite. So it was like a good panel. And so then the clip is basically like Misha going, like, I don't know how many of you guys, like, knew about this or whatever, but basically this, like, last episode, Cass, like, confessed his love to Dean and everything, and so, and basically made, he said the words, made Destiel canon.
Yes.
And it was just like, ah! And then, and he referenced Barry the Gaze, but was kind of like, yeah, like, it's interesting. And then one of the most beautiful parts So he also said the phrase homosexual declaration of love, which was very nice. And then Mark Shepherd is just like my hero, and I think he should be all of our heroes, because when like Misha first said it, he was like, oh, we all already knew. And he was like, oh, I wasn't sure who knew. And he was like, oh, no, like, we all always knew that Cass was in love with T. We always knew that. And then, and so it was like, that was great. And then, not to be outdone with his next quote, which I will just, like, it's, like, burned into my brain. I love it so much, which is just, like, you know, oh, well, like, something about, like, the election's just for now, but Destiel is forever.
See, that's how I feel, and that's how I felt last week. Where, yes. Like, I mean, not to keep quoting myself and quoting our episode title, but like, reality is fake, Destiel is real.
It's
like,
real.
That was exactly. Legitimately how I felt last week, where I was just like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yep.
2020, what the fuck?
I know.
Like,
oh, man.
I had something else to say, and now I don't remember it because I'm so overwhelmed. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And we still have another episode.
We do. And it's, God, it's so good. There was definitely another Tumblr post that I was like, no, this needs to be read on the air, and I need to get your reaction to it because it's just so good. Did you guys? Oh, no. Come on.
I was gonna start doing do 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 do, and then I got sad.
Oh no, that was the oh, God.
Another thing. Yeah.
God, yeah. Like why did last week feel like 500 years?
I know. But that's been like, it's like, what the fuck is that thing called? The singularity. Like, yes. Honestly, I feel like we're like every week of 2020, like time has sped up just like a little tiny bit. Like every mm-hmm. week has had more and more crammed into it. And we're just like yeah. It's that like, ugh, I wish I had a visual of like a light beam going like, choop! Like, you know what I'm like,
because that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was such a horror, like,
but no. What?
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's apt. I think that's very like concise and apt.
Yeah. Like we're just like ramping up and it's getting faster and faster and faster and faster until we'll just be like, bloop!
Well, I can't remember if I feel like I can't remember if I did actually tweet this on my personal account or if I didn't, or I can't remember where it was, but oh no, it was a comment on a TikTok. So it was a comment that I wrote on a TikTok, not that I just read, but yes. It was, this is the thing is I can't even cite myself. At least you can quote yourself and cite last week's podcast. I can't cite myself.
But like, they repeated myself like 20 times.
True. Oh yeah, it was a TikTok basically. It was around in regards to last week, and it was talking about how like, you know, the lead up to the season finale of 2020. Oh boy, like this is like the false sense of security kind of situation. And I was watching this person talk about this, and I was just like, wow, why do I feel so comforted by viewing reality in the terms and vocabulary of a TV show? Because I do. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're ramping up for the season finale. Cool, 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 cool.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I don't know if I'm reassured by that.
But it's this weird thing because you can kind of, like, you can derealize, you can depersonalize,
because
yeah. Then you can just be like, oh, I'm just watching it. It's yeah. Not affecting me at all.
It's a way of like contextualizing your trauma.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
speaking of which, this comes from on more more using other people's Tumblr content to fuel our podcast content. Woo. from Garbage Queer.
Oh, I relate.
Yeah. Cassiel really discovered free will and was like, I choose to be gay and cause problems. I knew you would like that one. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and there was like a lot of really good, honestly, really good commentary and just like funny, you know, coming from Murphy Cooper saying, yeah, Cass declaring his love for Dean was pretty gay, but Dean making him a mixtape was gayer.
You know what? It's true. I can't argue with that. Also, oh my God, just to like go back to the actual episode,
mm-hmm.
Dean continuing to wear the jacket with the handprint on it.
Like, he doesn't even change when he, like, meets it. And I was genuinely, I was very much hoping for, like, as direct a pickup as we could get. Because
yeah.
I just wanted that extension of the emotion and it to feel like, honestly, almost, like these last three episodes kind of felt like a three-parter. Mm-hmm. They all kind of flowed right into each other. And there was just one other thing that I did want to bring up from Tumblr. That isn't explicit to Tumblr, so it's just me referencing it. But it's a quote from one of the Ghostfacer episodes.
Ah.
I can't remember if it was the definitive one or not, but it's here. Let me just hold it up to Sally. It's this one where one of the guys is sitting in a chair and like talking to the camera, I guess. And so this is one of the things that's, I think fueling the like kind of analysis. And honestly, I think is very much confirmed by the last scene of this episode of like, we can write our own story now. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like along these lines of, and I quote, you know, and here we were thinking that, you know, we were teaching you. And all this time you were teaching us about heart, about dedication, and about how gay love can pierce through the veil of death. And to me, that's just like, that's the writers talking to us. Like that's the way that I'm choosing to interpret it. And I will continue to choose to interpret it whether or not we get more next episode or not.
Here.
So how about we actually talk about this episode?
Yeah. Now? Oh God.
Yeah.
Cool. We can cram it into the last 10 minutes of the podcast. Boom.
We were over time on the last one.
I know. I'm being facetious.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular that you wanted to talk about off the top of your brain?
I think mostly just I'm really excited because I have absolutely no clue what's going to happen next.
Yes. Because I was definitely in that realm of like, did they act? And I feel like I've said this before for a Supernatural episode, like a finale or whatever, where it's like, did they accidentally air the last one? Like,
but they did.
It was titled correctly, but yeah.
And like, oh man, I just lost my train of thought.
Well,
so I just, and like, I'm always interested. I feel like they were really going in there and like wrapping up loose ends.
Yeah.
So that they could do whatever they want with the next episode, you know?
Exactly.
Like, where I'm like, cool, we got our little Lucifer cameo, we got our little Michael cameo, like, God's human now, Amara's with Jack, like.
There's harmony in the universe.
Yeah, so like.
Speaking of Jack, the first thing that I thought of when he was just like, I feel something, I was just like, oh, he senses a disturbance in the Force. I was like, oh, we have come full circle.
Also, that fucking dog.
Oh, that moment. There was so many moments in this where I just felt implicitly attacked as a writer.
Yes.
Because it's just
I feel like you felt attacked as a writer. I felt attacked by a writer.
But see, for me, I felt both. Because I kept saying through the episode, I was just like, ooh, I hate him. Oh, I love him. Oh, I hate him. Oh, I but I also, I don't know about you, but I, throughout this episode, I didn't know what to expect. Yeah. You know, I was very much like, okay, I'm going along for the ride. Let's go. Okay, where are we going? Oh, you're going to give him a dog and then take it away. Oh, okay. That's what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a couple questions that I have, but I think I'm going to save the best for last. Okay. So on that note, basically we got what we thought we were going to get, which is Jack as the new god.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
I feel great about that.
Same.
I feel like it's like we, you know, we always talk about how we want them to suffer, and mm-hmm. I do want Sam and Dean to suffer a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm enjoying thinking about imagining Dean pining after Cass for all of eternity. You know, that's like a pleasurable thought to me. But Jack is a character where, on the one hand, I didn't really care whether he lived or died. But on the other hand, I didn't want him to suffer. You know, he's someone where... like, and I feel like him being the new god really gives, he seemed happy.
Yeah. Content.
At peace. And I think he really took on that omniscience, omnipotence, all of the godly omnis. You know, he took that on with this really pure, good-hearted spirit. And it seems like that's the thing that made him happy and at peace. And I'm happy about that.
And also too, for me, I think it's like, obviously agree totally with everything that you just said. Also, in connection to that, I couldn't help but get really like moved at the fact that of him saying that his approach is 100% directly related to what he learned from the Brothers Winchester.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing. That's like, to me, that's such a great emblematic way. I'm not sure if I use that word right, but whatever. Emblematic way of showing the effect of these two people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? On their world, mm-hmm. and that it is that the world of Supernatural can exist as a self-perpetuating machine without it being a hamster wheel.
Yeah,
that there is like it's a very optimistic kind of way of formulating it. Mm-hmm. And it's very, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's very in line with a more, I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, a more nuanced sort of view of quote unquote God.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like I loved his speech. It like is a little bit corny, but whatever. Like, I loved it. Because I think it really highlighted the differences between Chuck and Jack as God and sort of the best and worst of religion. And I've always been really curious as to how they were going to handle this in the series finale, because I know that like Jensen and Jared are both like not like ultra religious, but like they're both Christian. And like a lot of the people who work on the show, again, aren't like capital C, like crazy Christians, but like they're religious. Yeah.
But on that kind of wavelength, I think what really solidified it for me that there wasn't going to be a preachy or censored or like any kind of like weird vibe kind of ending when it came to addressing God and like all of this stuff and like vilifying God was a clip that I saw of, I'm sure it was at a convention and I can't remember, don't ask me to remember how long ago it was, but it's one that I saw again recently of, I believe it was both Jensen and Jared talking about how like the evolution of the show and going into season 4 or 5 and like entering into like, you know, God, angels, demons becoming like, you know, basically enlarging the scale of the show, that, and I believe that this is a Jensen quote, to like quote, not become, for the show to not become a mouthpiece for the religious views of the writers.
Yeah.
And that, that to me, like hearing that quote from him, I was like, okay, so if it's not going to be from them, it's also not going to be from you. We're going to have more of like a theological kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agnostic perspective.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just like, I knew there was a word there somewhere that I couldn't get to.
But yeah, like with Chuck, we always had this sort of ego first God of like, I am God and I'm in all of this stuff because I made it. All of these things are my creation. All of them belong to me. This very like egocentric view of everything. And as soon as Jack is God, it's this, it aligns closer with like my beliefs and a lot of like mystical beliefs when it comes to like the mystical branches of Christianity and Judaism. This is often their perspective, and like more tribal animistic religions, which basically means that like nature is God.
God, yeah. And we are nature, therefore we are God.
Yeah. There's a spark of the divine in everyone. Like that's a main point of like Kabbalistic Judaism. And Jack really was sort of the mouthpiece for that. And I really loved that perspective that it's sort of the ego versus he's totally egoless.
Yes.
And he's giving himself over to the world.
On that note, it's that thing of like realizing that like Jack's technically still a child, right? And it's like, okay, so where did he learn that egolessness from? The brothers never, ever, ever, in my opinion, talked about being right.
Yeah.
You know, like I mean in terms of like, they would justify their actions.
Yeah.
But I think that they would be very, they usually were always very quick to absolve authority.
Yeah.
If you will, like, does that make sense? Like, I'm not saying definitively.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no matter what, they are human, and that's the point. But it's like, it makes me think of, like, something that, like, you know, beings in the past that have said about the Winchesters is like, one, you get, you know, people like Crowley of like, you know, oh, everyone underestimates the Winchesters, and I'm not going to because I'm not stupid.
Well, you know who else was a big influence on Jack?
Yeah,
and
big
who
influence.
I think exemplifies selflessness is Cass,
exactly.
I mean, I think ultimately Jack ended up modeling himself on Sam and Dean, but initially.
And Cass.
But like, yeah, the first model was Cass. The first 100%. Person he modeled himself on was Cass.
Absolutely. Yeah. I still haven't remembered what the hell I was going to say. But on a separate note, but also still talking about Jack and like, you know, this was our prediction of like him becoming the new God and everything.
Yes.
But I don't think that we fully talked about previously why we thought that, other than like a functional thing. And to me, there's two main reasons why I personally thought that this is where we were going.
Okay.
And, I would say, oh God, there was another one, but now I'm forgetting it. But the main reason why I felt like this is where we were headed was the fact that Cass was shown a vision by Jack.
Yeah.
And we got the payoff for that, mm-hmm. of a beautiful world, a world, you know, that's not a utopia, but like of a beautiful world.
Huh. Yeah. I hadn't even thought of
and that. And that he would be the impetus for that.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, there was a lot of twists and turns along the way. He had to go through the whole, like, you know, every Winchester and Cass arc that existed before he got there. But that's where he got to. And that's something.
See him.
Yeah. There's still one more episode. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, mm-hmm. with regards to this episode was the fight scene between God and Dean and Sam.
I also loved that.
Yeah.
Like, I think they did, like, there were a couple, like, yeah, I really liked it. I feel like Rob Benedict acted it perfectly. In that, and made it so believable that, yeah. Chuck would be like, what the fuck am I doing? I can just snap you out of existence. And then being like, oh yeah, but fighting you would be fun. Like, I guess I can get my hands, like, and it was perfect. It was exactly that character. He'd just be like, yeah, but I kind of just want to punch them in the face. Like, okay, you wanted me to fight you. Sure, I'll fight you. And you know me, I love fight scenes. And I love fight scenes like that. Like, I love fight scenes that look like they hurt. We've talked about this before. I've been, you know, a curmudgeon about Wonder Woman, where I'm just like, do I want people in slow-mo dancing around each other? Like,
guys, she said slow-mo, you gotta take a shot.
Yeah. But it's like, I want to this makes me sound like a serial killer, but like, I want to hear the crunch of someone's bones. Like, I want it to look like it hurts. I don't want slow-mo.
Yeah.
Like, and I like it. Again, what's wrong with me? I like it when you can feel the heaviness when, yeah. it's not just like, ooh, fisticuffs, when it's like you can feel the power behind the hits. Yeah. And it's like, this is a heavy hit that is crushing someone into the ground.
Exactly.
And having never been in a fight myself, thank God, but like, because I would, it's like I talk a big game, but like in a fight, I would turtle completely.
That's because that is wise.
Because that is wise. Yeah. But like, you know, a fight like this looks like how a fight where people are trying to hurt each other actually is.
Yes.
Where it's like, if you, like, people cannot take an infinite number of punches and just be fresh as a daisy. Like, that shit, like, injures you. You get into, yeah. a fight like that, like, you're gonna be wrecked.
You're gonna be like, winded. You're gonna be, yeah.
And I liked it. Yeah. I liked it.
For me,
Chuck being pissed off that they wouldn't lie down.
Yeah, that they wouldn't lie down. And I found that whole, like, but to speak on what you're saying about the effectiveness of the fight scene, like choreography and like how it landed, both like, you know, metaphorically and physically, is that at the end of the day, if you're going to choose to show something like that narratively, the whole point is for it to have a visceral feeling, mm-hmm. to elicit a reaction. And so it's not so much about it being, because I was going to be like, oh yeah, because we want it to be realistic because our goal is realism. And it's like, no, it's not, because we're watching God physically fight two humans. Like, it, yeah. we aren't seeking realism. And when you talk about all of the cuts, the like camera cuts in the scene, if you're talking about, you know, the physics of it, I'm sure that it doesn't fully line up with reality. So that isn't really the goal. The goal is to elicit a reaction that fits the moment and the narrative and the characters. And that's exactly what it did, because it needed to be that kind of vacuous and like you're saying, heavy thing, because you needed to feel the weight that they're pushing up against every single time they get back up, despite being pushed down. And that whole scene was a metaphor for the last 15 years. Every single punch landed was another apocalypse. It was another life close to them lost. It was another, you know, that's what that was representing. And Chuck saying, you know, oh, just stay down is, you know, Gabriel in the abandoned warehouse going, just play your part. You know, it's, you know, Lucifer trying to get Sam to like be his vessel. It's Michael trying to get Dean to be his vessel. It's all of these things. It's this one scene summarizing all of that. Yeah. And I think it was like so beautifully done and everything. Yeah. But to me that, unless, I don't know if you had anything else to say on that, but it leads me to a question that I actually kind of gleaned from peeking on Twitter for a second. which was actually like, I'm glad I did, because then it also too saves room in the next mm-hmm. podcast where we can like actually talk about that episode more, rather than going back. But there was a comment about the execution of this episode, okay, in terms of like, as an example, and this isn't something that I necessarily picked up on, it was the person that tweeted this, about the you lose follow-up from Sam to Chuck, like, you know, him saying like, yeah, why are you guys smiling, you lose, and then Jack being behind them, and then that being followed by the quote-unquote flashback,
yeah,
of like the series of events that leaded to, yeah, this point. How did you feel about that?
I felt fine about it.
Same, honestly.
Yeah, like, I mean, were people online complaining about it?
No, not complaining, but just kind of like being like, this is only one person like that I saw of, but just be like, I'm just trying to invite it, because I know we've had our gripes in the past about, yeah, finales where the execution is the issue and not the narrative.
Yeah.
Per se, but that how sometimes it can affect the narrative.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a device that they've used before. I think
that's the thing.
I don't care, you know? Like, it didn't thrill me. It didn't take me out. Like, it didn't take me out of the episode to see it. I wasn't like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, this is a great retort. Like, this is a great device. This is a great storytelling device. But, like, it didn't take me out of the episode at all.
Same. And like, honestly, for me, I would say is it kind of drove home how we didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And if anything, it showed how up to that point, how effective it was in like not giving us any kind of hint towards them having a plan other than what was on the surface level. Does that make sense? I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I was just like, oh, okay, so this is, yeah, the plan that they described to Michael and that they're going to do, that's, oh, okay, so that's how we're doing this, there's this spell, okay, that's interesting. Like, yeah, there was, like, a little part of me that was just like, this sounds really convenient and, like, random, but,
yeah,
okay, let's see where this leads. Like, it didn't, if anything, like, them going back and being like, no, we did notice this thing and that Jack was having things happen to him, we're not idiots, kind of, you know, like, yeah, that's the part of it that I liked yeah, going for the ride.
Yeah. Like, I can think of another like couple of storytelling devices that like maybe would have worked better, or that, right, but like also maybe they wouldn't have. Like, this is the other thing, is like I can, oh my goodness, my brain, it's like, I just had the idea of like, oh, it would have been cool if like we had gotten another episode from Chuck's perspective.
Mm,
because yeah. then us being in the dark about the plan.
Right.
Would have sort of made, it would have been more like
yeah.
natural. But it, that's but true. So this is where I'm going with, where it's like, I can think of that idea, but like, I don't know if that would have worked better, you know? Like, because this is what they went with. What?
But it's not natural. It's supernatural. I hate myself. I'm so sorry. I hate myself. But yeah, honestly, though, it's funny that you say that because, or talking about perspective, because that's not something that I thought about yet mm-hmm. with regards to this episode. I feel like it didn't have perspective.
Yeah.
Let me explain what I'm saying. Like it, you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. Like
in terms of it didn't, it felt like very much, I don't know if it was maybe like a lot of the, they did a lot of like crane shots. There was a lot of overhead wide shots. We got to see city streets for the mm-hmm. first time in a very long time in the show, which was very interesting.
And we got a lot of images of people by themselves, not being seen by other people.
Oh, interesting. You know, yeah, like that's true.
We got Jack alone, like, and we got Sam alone, like, yeah.
Which, you know, if we did want to put on our reading too much into things cap, that could be a sign of the transition into making the viewer the author.
Yeah.
Because we're the omnipotent mm-hmm. viewing. Yeah. Objective viewing,
we're which is all interesting. God.
heard it here first, folks.
It's true though, because if we are creating the story, then we're all God.
Exactly. Now that's why I'm the writer. No, I'm kidding. I feel like probably most writers are control freaks. Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
I think the last thing that I definitely wanted to note on was Chuck's reaction to losing, mm-hmm. like him losing, his reaction to losing, how he tried to tried to control the narrative right down to the end,
mm-hmm.
and especially Dean's reaction to that. the thing that stands out the most to me is us getting, I think, the best kind of payoff to Cass's love confession, which is having God say to Dean, you know, oh yeah, well I can get killed by, you know, the best killer
kind of thing.
You know, and seeing Dean's wheels kind of turning there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the I'm sorry, you know?
It's such a like dad move too. Like I've been listening to this podcast that's all about like watching movies and like talking about daddy issues. And I feel like, you know, even though Chuck is not Sam and Dean's dad, he has like big dad energy because he's like the ultimate dad. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that kind of, I don't know if you could call it like an underhanded compliment or like
a, 100%. Like, I think that's like, how it was intended. Yeah,
like trying to assert control over the situation by mm-hmm. like poking at the thing that you know is a wound for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that of just being like, oh yeah, you're such a dick. Like you're gonna like throw that barb out in your last mm-hmm. moment.
And the very thing that he 100% is convinced will elicit a reaction.
Yeah.
Because let's, you know, to extrapolate information that we got from like the last, you know, 1 to 2 episodes, you know, he didn't write Amara and Dean's connection, and we extrapolated from that he, or didn't even extrapolate, he explicitly said to this version of Cass, like, why, you're the one that's caused all this problem, every other version of you,
yeah,
has like followed orders and like done the, you know, quote unquote right thing or whatever.
But this
and
person so is gay.
Saw free will and chose to be gay and cause problems. Exactly.
Who the fuck wouldn't?
Exactly. But yeah, so it's it is, you know, when we're talking about like, because I feel like if there's any sort of, you know, I hesitate to say valid criticism because I don't necessarily want to put like anything in a box, but I think like some very valid criticism for this episode would be the fact that Chuck didn't see things coming, right? Yeah. But I think that a way to kind to not argue against it but justify it, mm-hmm, is that he thought he won.
Yeah,
he was in it. He was playing with his toys. He was dropping in a dog and like doing this and like, you know, getting Lucifer to do this thing because he's just like, oh, I better wrap up some of these loose ends just in case these, you know, dinguses think that they can pull one over on me or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Well, and he didn't have any characters to play with.
Exactly.
That's the other thing.
So he had to bring people in.
He killed everyone off, and then he's like, oh, fuck, who can we bring in that'll make this exciting? And yeah, then him bringing those people in was not exciting and didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. It just rehashed existing things. Mm-hmm. It was just like, okay, yes, we've done this before almost, yeah, right? Like, yeah. But I think during that the fight scene particularly, and it's why I brought it up earlier, but during that fight scene, all I could think of was Crowley's quote about them and how he's always talked about the Winchesters. Mm-hmm. Of like, you don't underestimate them. If there's anyone that's going to just keep fighting and not, you know, of course he, especially early on, very much said it with annoyance. And then of course that developed to become more endearing. But, you know, like it's very interesting when like the pseudo king of hell, former pseudo king of hell, and everything has like more insight than God. And I like that they can play on that because you take this character essentially that's inserted himself into his own story and, you know, make him think that he's winning. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the, you know, the ramifications of that, the consequences of it are interesting.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also speaks to like what we've said before about, you know, death, the empty, all of those things is like there are powers that are older than God and outside, mm-hmm, of his control. Mm-hmm. And I think that Jack is one of those things. And like the specific thing that's going on with his powers, you know, that's not a thing that's going to be immediately accessible to God. Oh crap, I had another point. What was it? Something about Crowley.
I just, maybe me saying something might help you remember, but I just remembered the other thing that pointed me towards Jack, you know, becoming God and stuff, yes, and how it lined up with, mm-hmm, the vision thing. And it was the scene with Adam and like when he, Adam and Eve.
Oh yeah.
Of, you know, like asking him which crystal is like a crystal touched by God. And like the answer was like all of them. And that, like that whole moment, that whole scene and that exchange, I was like, okay, that's that kind of signaled to me that like that might be where we're going, mm-hmm, kind of thing. So yeah, anyway. did you remember what you were going to say?
I did.
Perfect.
I did. So it wasn't really connected to Jack being a blind spot, but it was about God losing and, you know, the way that whole scene went down. And I think that, you know, it's abundantly clear that God just like has no idea what he's doing. You know, what does God want? Like, we don't know. I don't think he knows. And I, mm-hmm, think that moment where he almost snaps them out, I don't think he doesn't want to kill them. Mm-hmm. Because if he kills them, what's he gonna do?
Yeah,
he has nothing. If he snaps them out, he's just by himself. yeah. on an empty planet, like, and these people he's poured so much effort into, mm-hmm. you know, so I think there's also an element of, like, not that he wants to lose, but I mean, I think the reason he decides to physically beat them up instead of snapping them out is just, like, this, like, he knows he should do it, he wants to do it, but, like, doesn't really want to do it.
Yeah.
And can't make himself.
And it's, that's, like, an interesting kind of analogy to, like, speaking of using TV show terms, mm-hmm. he's just like, I'm canceling you.
Oh God, that was so good.
Which was just so good. And it's just like, but then like you're saying, he doesn't, he hesitates and he's just like, actually, I want to play with my dolls a little bit more.
Yeah.
Let's get in there. Exactly. And I feel like that's such a great analogy for, like, really talking about getting meta with it, of like, it's always for years been a conversation of like, will the show ever end? When will it end? Why will it end? And everything, because, like, in a perfect world, I think that they would just keep going forever, you know? And yeah, like, so yeah, anyway, that's it. That's all I was gonna say. yeah. How do we feel? And I think that, to me, this is the last thing.
I'm falling asleep. I forget if I said this on the podcast or not, but I had caffeine 3 days ago, so
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
uncaffeinated. Shocking.
This is the last thing. How do you? I think I already know the answer to this, but I personally really liked God's ending.
Yes.
I thought that's like the ultimate punishment.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
He has to live the life that he's made everyone else suffer through.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much like a taste. I'm just getting this now. It's very much a taste of your own medicine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
And I liked it better. Like, I mean, I think you were getting at this earlier a little bit, but I liked it better for, like, Dean's reaction to it, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I liked mm-hmm. it better because it was a result of Dean, like, asserting himself as someone who's not choosing violence
mm-hmm.
and rejecting the, like, ultimate killer title that people have been foisting on him his entire life. So it's hard for me to separate the ending for God from
yeah.
how that ending comes about, you know? And
well, because you can't.
Yeah. And how yeah. it comes about is maybe to me the most important part of that.
Yeah.
But it still makes it a good ending for God. Yeah. Like,
and it's such a great antithesis to what we saw in two episodes ago, of where Dean was just like running full tilt forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it does feel like, okay, that, like, this is the space that we've created. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay. It's because this is how it was actually supposed to end.
I wonder what could have happened to change Dean's perspective.
I have no idea. Yeah, it's so weird.
Like, what happened between two episodes ago and now? Like, who the fuck knows?
I don't know. It's weird. My Destiel heart flutters.
Like, yeah. Ah. Yeah.
I don't know how I haven't already admitted this, but I have definitely watched that scene at least 100 times at this point.
Oh, I fully support it. I love it. Oh, like, also.
And the reaction stays the same.
Yeah.
I react to it.
I need to
the same way every single time.
Because when the intro to this episode happened and they mm-hmm. played the clip from that scene, I was like, mm-hmm. oh. Just like seeing the, like.
I know.
That was a weird noise for me to make. But you know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
It was just very
yeah
emotionally intense.
Yes. Absolutely. And it doesn't stop getting emotionally intense. No. Just to, you know, prepare you for your next 100 views.
And then like what you said, I just want to go back and watch, like, old episodes, too.
Yeah. Because now they're...
Just with
now they're fully re... Exactly. Yeah, they're recontextualized, and it's awesome. Okay, let's wrap this up so that we can... prepare ourselves. Yeah, sleep and prepare ourselves for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys have been listening to It's Funny or Enochian, a supernatural podcast. You can find us on multiple podcast platforms as well as social media at IFIE Podcast. That's IFIE Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr. And see you next week.
Yeah, for the last episode.
For the last.
Ever.
Ever.